I believe profitability came first as a value. I still do today, even though my complete paradigm of value has shifted.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
All right, well, I'm going to talk about value. So I might as well talk about my perception of value when I was little. I grew up with a single mom who's actually here today. I'm not going to look at her because I'll start to cry. I got mommy issues. But I grew up with a terrific mom. And I had one goal in life, one value in life, and that was to be rich. And unlike most five-year-olds, the reason I wanted to be rich wasn't to own a Ferrari, wasn't to have beautiful women around me. It was simply to buy my mom a house and a car. That was my dream. So blessed because I was so happy, even though I was in Akron, Ohio, which some people, if you're from Ohio, probably think it's an impossibility. But I was very happy growing up with my siblings. They're extraordinary people. The only time I wasn't happy is when I would catch my mom stressed or crying because the car broke down, something happened that we couldn't afford to go to camp, whatever it was. And I registered in my mind, gosh, if I just could be rich and buy my mom a house and a car, then I'd be happy. So I put into effect the only thing that I had, which was later on I found out the law of Goya. And some of you may know the law of Goya. It's the law of getting off your ass. And my siblings had the same thing. In fact, my siblings were hyper intelligent, great students. I was just hyper, and which isn't really great for good grades. But they went to Harvard and Penn and Columbia. Two great parenting advice from my mom. One was, of course, guilt your children into doing whatever you want them to do. And with six kids and a single mom who worked two jobs, she worked as a second grade teacher, came home, packed our dinners into a paper bag, went into our Country Squire station wagon, and luckily this is a little older crowd, you know what a Country Squire station wagon is. And then we would study, teach each other, talk, while she filled turnstiles at the 7-Eleven with greeting cards, just so we could eat. My mom had a second rule though, it was you had to wake up at 5 a.m. So her philosophy was, I don't really parent my children, I just wake them up early and allow them to do whatever they have enough energy to do, which was to fall asleep, wake up early and study. So we Friday nights and Saturday nights, we were free. We just couldn't stay awake to have any fun or get into trouble for that matter. But I was pretty driven, and I wanted to be a football player, got a scholarship to college. First play in my college career, I got ran over by Christian Okoye. I remember lying on my back thinking one great line from my mom, doctor, lawyer, or failure. That was the end of my football career. So I decided to be a doctor. Then my oldest brother, who's in med school, told me, you know, you have to, I told him I hated hospitals. He goes, you know, you have to be in hospitals to be a doctor. At 18 years old, I'm sure some of you have 18-year-olds, I was like, really? I thought, you know, sports doctors just went to the football field and boom, we were there. He told me a great lesson though, be more interested than interesting. Later on in my career, I ran Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment. Most people know Lee from the movie Jerry Maguire. I ran the most notable sports agency in the world. And still today, so many kids come up to me and say, oh, I just want to be a sports agent just like you. And I think about my older brother. Be more interested than interesting. At least find out what it is in order to be a sports agent. But anyway, doctor, lawyer, or failure, I went to law school. That's where I really learned to study. One thing I did as far as value, though, that's a little different, is I believe profitability came first as a value. I still do today, even though my complete paradigm of value has shifted. I believe people make a mistake when they don't understand that we live at this vibration. We live at this vibration. We're human beings, and the currency of this vibration is money. It is an object of energy in which you put into a flow, and today that flow might be Amazon, depending on your level of energy you carry, a green card, a silver card, a platinum card, or a black card, you can get more from Amazon manifested to you. But there's a whole nother object of energy as well at a higher level, and that's faith. Faith is the currency of the universe. It's the aggregate of what we think, what we say, what we do, what we believe, and even our unconscious competencies, personality traits, characteristics, obsessions, addictions. And we actually can activate and deactivate all of those things in order to exude an energy that brings the second law that I learned later on in life, the law of attraction. Now, at this point in my life, when I was in law school, I reverse engineered my richness, my wealth. I studied who would be, what's the best job you could get out of law school that would make the most money? And at the time in the early 90s, it was oil and gas litigator. So I studied really hard. I got into all the law schools that I wanted to go to except for Stanford. They rejected me for undergrad and graduate school. Today I speak at Stanford and I remind them of that every time. That you won't let me in, but now you're learning from me, so take that. Moreover though, I decided to go to Tulane University because it had the top maritime law program, and I actually got a job. Right on, go green. I got a job as an oil and gas litigator, but I also got another job offer to sell legal research online. And I had to make this critical decision in my life, so I went to my mother, my famed advisor, and I'm like, Mom, what should I do? She immediately said to me, you need to be a real lawyer because this internet thing's a fad. Lesson number two, as a parent or a child, lesson number two, just because someone loves you does not mean they give you good advice. Because a lot of times what we do is we put faith in what other people want for us, and we manifest what they want from us, and then we end up resenting them for the rest of our lives, the people that are closest to us, our family, our friends, our associates. So be very careful who we ask advice from. Anyway, I took the internet job, and within 9 months I was a millionaire. As I progressed, we sold West Publishing for $3.4 billion in 1995. I truly believed at that time, and that was when companies weren't selling for even $1 billion. It was a big deal. I truly believed the value of life was money, that money could buy happiness, and if it couldn't buy happiness, at least it could rent the shit out of it. And I really did. I really believed that. And I lived my life all the way into my 30s, where I married my dream girl, who I knew from fourth grade, so I knew once again money could rent, or at least buy love. She cringes when I tell you that because she's an amazing woman and she saved my life. But at 30 years old, I got a gift from my father. Now, my father was an absentee father in some respects, but the thing that I did and can't believe when you realize what an extraordinary person my mom and the values that she taught me and the value that I provide is that, imagine at 5 years old, your father's not paying any child support, although he's making a lot of money, because back in the 70s, we didn't have those protective laws anymore, and you had a five-year-old son who kept telling his mother, why can't you be more like my dad? Right? Why can't you be like dad? Sorry, see, the mommy issues coming out. But she would never say a word. Never say a word. When I was 10 years old, my dad forgot my birthday, and it crushed me. He was my hero. He crushed me, and my mom still didn't say anything until he made a really bad mistake. When I finally got a hold of him, he said, I didn't forget your birthday. I just don't believe in birthdays. It upset her so much that she finally told me the truth about my father and the issues that he had, the manipulation, the lying, the overselling, the back-end selling, the dishonesty that he had. Although he had good intents, she said that it was just his unconscious competency, his personality traits, and that he still loved me. But when I was 30 years old, I got a birthday gift from my father. I was so thrilled, I opened it up, and it was a beautiful blazer, much like this. I hope you think this is beautiful. I opened it up, though, and all the inside pockets were torn out. I called him so furious and angry, so hurt. Thank you for the gift, but why would you give me a jacket I can't wear? And he said, it's not for wearing. So what are you talking about? It's for hanging in the closet. Why? Because I want you to remember me. I'm like, yeah, I'll remember you. You're an asshole. Excuse my language, but I was pissed. He said, no, I need you to learn that you are just like me. I said, I'm nothing like you. In fact, I hate you. And I did. He said, you're exactly like me. He said, and I don't want you to end up being the richest man in the cemetery. You can't take anything with you, and I don't want you to make the same mistakes that I made. I want you to remember every day when you look at that jacket, you can't take anything with you. Later on, within 2 years, I started changing my ways, much because of some of my mom's advice telling me I was lost, my wife's advice telling me I was lost, meaning she was going to leave me if I didn't change. But I lost everything. Over $100 million in assets, all gone. And it was the greatest day of my life because I realized money cannot buy love. I realized that I needed to wake up every morning and trust the universe that my job in life was to create value, to live my life with a lens of productivity, of providing value, of being of service, and accessibility, being accessible to others and accessing what I wanted. Money was still a great currency. I still think money is extremely important, but what makes money important to me today has a completely different value than it did before when I used to lie, manipulate, oversell, back-end sell. In fact, I learned that every reason I hated my father was because I hated myself, because I was like that. So I woke up every morning and decided that I was going to pray to God for at least 10 people that I could help. That everything I do would be to shift the paradigm of value, to be as productive as I can. Now, I'm not Mother Teresa. I don't walk the streets just giving away everything I have. I'm not a victim. Everything doesn't happen to me. I'm not an optimist. Everything doesn't happen for me. I live much of my life. Everything happened for me. They called me Midas. Lee Steinberg himself hired me and said, "You are Midas. You're the next Jeff Morad. That's why I want you. Everything you touch turns to gold." Imagine what it was like to go to Lee Steinberg and Warren Moon, who today is my business partner, and say, "Hey, you know the guy you hired to tell kids that we're not going to lose all their money because all athletes go bankrupt? I'm bankrupt." Not easy. But much harder was driving home and realizing I got to tell my mom. Doctor, lawyer, failure. In my mind, I thought, I'm going to crush her. Right? But I thought even worse, gosh, I made one mistake. I forgot to take my mom's house out of my name. At a golf course, a ski mountain, 33 homes, and I forgot to take my mom's house. So not only did I have to tell my mom that I had lost everything, but I had lost her house and she would have to move. When I saw her, I told her in tears. She didn't break down at all. She showed me what value truly was, how to be of service, how to be accessible. All she said to me was, "Are you okay? Do you need any money? Is there anything I can do for you?" And that's where it clicked in my mind that I was going to live my life with full faith. The first paycheck that I got from Lee Steinberg when I was bankrupt, I lived in a rented house with rented furniture. We had one car. I had three daughters under the age of 10 and one son, as she was pregnant, 8 months. I came home with my first paycheck and I wrote a check and I showed it to her and I said, "I'm giving this to our high school to get a kid to college, to give him a scholarship. Is that okay?" And she said, "You finally get it. You finally trust the universe." I said, "I know, I get it, I trust the universe." She said, "Then double it." I said, "I don't trust the universe that much." And I still don't, I still don't. I want you to know that I'm enjoying a consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential. I know that money does not buy love, but it's the most important thing to me at this vibration. Faith is my most important thing in the universe. Money is the most important thing in this vibration because I learned this about money. Money does not buy love, but it allows you to shop. It allows you to shop for what you want. And if you shop for good things, you're going to be happy. Last year when I turned 50 years old, I went shopping. I bought two community centers in Africa, which will impact millions of people to be happy. I've changed my whole life and paradigm to make as much money as I can, to help as many people as I can to be happy. We have a happiness problem. If you want to empower and provide value to other people, then empower them to be happy. I read an article that only 15 days a year Americans are happy in 1 year. Even worse, number one cause of death for people under 50 years old in America is suicide. We have a happiness problem. And I have a solution. Provide value. Two questions before this ends that you have to write down and learn if you want to change your life. You ask them in person, you ask them on the phone, you ask them via email, and all your media, radio, print, TV, social media, whatever it is, simply number one, how can I be of service? How can I help you? How can I provide value to you? One simple question, and guess what? Everyone, that question is easy. Everyone loves to be of service and to give and to help. The more critical question that I want you to ask is, do you know anyone that can help me? Because we are not victims, things don't happen to us. We are not optimists where things happen for us. We are givers, receivers. We allow the inspiration to come through us with appreciation, gratitude, appreciate it, add value, and give it away. Allow life to come through you. Empower others to be happy. I want to make 1 billion people happy, and I hope that you'll join me as one of my 1,000 people that will learn to empower 1,000 people to empower 1,000 people. 1,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000. 1,000,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000,000. One particle of light will overcome all particles of darkness. So please understand the two currencies of the world, money and faith, and put them both to empower people to be happy. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.